Blog Talk Radio. All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram, and that was Richard Smallwood, Angels Watching Over Me. Took you back, didn't I? Took you way back, back to the Sanctified Church. Remember, I used to play that song, Angels Watching Over Me. Yes, we got some angels watching over us, family. We're going to get ready and tune within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize this great spirit known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So let's get ready and center our mind, family. Centering and then coming very conscious of the breath, because there's power in the breath, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. When I'm working out with my trainer and the moves are hard or I'm doing more than I expected, and my trainer has to remind me, pray. Sometimes life can overwhelm us and we forget to pray. There's power in the breath, family. So I want you to just center your mind and become very conscious and intentional about your breath as we take in a deep breath in through our nose. Hold it to the point of vibration. Hold it to the count of eight. Release through the mouth. And remember to breathe into the heart and deep into the diaphragm. And so, family, I just want you to be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am, that I am God. Let's breathe, family, breathe. And release. And as we recognize that the angels and all the eternal loving presence, and open our heart and just say, thank you, God. We breathe in again. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Just breathe, family. There's power in the breath. And we release. And last time, let's breathe. Be still and know that I am, that I am God. Breathe. And release. Oh, divine and precious, precious Holy Spirit, I come before you today, God, asking that every word of my mouth and every meditation of my heart would come from the higher, my higher mind self, that would be so acceptable in thy sight. And as I speak from the transcending power of my higher mind self, I call forth the presence of you in this prayer, that you will remove every human created thought, God, that you will remove every human created ego, God, that I will remove all of myself, come empty, and let you, let my presence be filled by the presence of the higher mind, God, God, this energy in this right now moment, God, come and let your words be manifested in this prayer. That I come empty right now, God, and be made manifest as you in this prayer right now, God. And any words, any desires, or any thoughts that will come from you in my higher mind self, I ask this in my transcending power to come, Holy Spirit, and take over this prayer right now, God. As I come, I ask for fresh anointing upon each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I ask for a fresh anointing, God. I ask you to anoint our thoughts right now, God, that all of our thoughts will be your thoughts, God. that all of our words will be your words, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint our minds, our hearts, our spirit, God, that we would be uplifted to the heavenly realms of our mind right now, God, that we would be in the thought consciousness of all that is love, God, all that will ever be love, God, that we will be in the thought consciousness that there is never anything other than love, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, that we will operate and move and navigate in the energetic expression of that love energy, God. I'm asking you to raise the vibratory energy of this call right now, God. I'm asking you to raise the frequency level of this call right now, God, that we may touch the hem of your garment in our consciousness right now, God, that we may touch the presence of you in our consciousness right now, God, that we all can become one in this one consciousness of love, God, in this right now moment, God, that we could feel the presence of you right now, God, as you rain down your love upon us right now, God, that we can make manifest the glory of who you called us to be in this right now moment, God, that we can be reminded of the truth, that we are your greatest miracle, that we are the walking embodiment of Christ right now in this name, nature, and consciousness of who you are in us right now, God, that we can never forget the truth, God, that we will never forget the truth as we've been conditioned to believe some things other than who we truly are, that you have given us authority, God, that you have given us mastery, God, and dominion over this earth, God, that we can speak a thing and it shall be done, Holy Spirit, God. I'm asking you to open up your windows, your gates, your doors, and your heaven right now, God, and pour out a blessing upon us, God. There won't be room enough to receive it. I'm asking you to pour it over us right now, God. Let it rain down on us right now, God. Let us take a love bath in that energy, knowing that, God, you are raining down your blessings, God. Supernatural explosive blessings, God. Supernatural explosive favor over our life, God. I'm asking for an anointing, God. Anointing of Abraham right now, God. That we will be so blessed, even the blessed will call us blessed, God. And they will know us by our light, God. They will know us by our presence, God. That even our presence will be a blessing, God. And everywhere we tread, our feet shall be upon holy ground. That the blessings don't get there till we get there, God. Oh, God, I'm calling forth an anointing of Christ upon us right now, God. That every word we speak shall come forth, God. Everything we do shall be in the consciousness of Christ, God. That every thought that we keep shall be in the consciousness of Christ, God. And that you anoint our hands with everything we touch, God. Oh, God, that we can be like our brother Christ and turn water into wine, Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that everything we touch, God, will not only turn to gold but platinum gold, God. I'm asking you right now, God, to come, Holy Spirit, and bring forth a blessing upon us right now, God. I'm asking you to open up those financial doors right now, God, and open it up, God, so we can have such a financial blessing that only you can do it, God, that we'd be like, wow. Look what God has done. We're asking you to wow us this morning, God, on this Wednesday. Watch God wow us on Wednesday, God. Ooh, thank you, God. I just thank you for your financial substance, God. I thank you for your profuse winds of abundance, God. I thank you that doors are opening that only you can open, God. I thank you, God, that relationships are being restored in the mighty consciousness of love right now, God. Somebody came because they desire a divine love mate, God. I call it forth right now, and it's so it is, God. Bring forth that divine love mate. Somebody want restoration in the marriage, God. I'm asking you right now, knowing that it is done, God. Somebody is looking to bring forth a new business, God. Elevate their existing business right now. Some new books and new ideas, new inventions, God. I'm just thanking you right now, God, for spiritual enlightenment, God. I thank you for spiritual 2020 eyes this morning, God. I thank you for spiritual hearing the melodic sounds of your voice, God. That you will lead us and guide us and direct our path this morning as we command our angels to go before us, God, and commanding our angels to bring forth ease, elegance, and grace as we walk the path that is paved with gold for us today, God. And nothing but good shall come to us this morning, because this is the day that you have made, and we shall delight and joy in it, God. And we give thanks for the presence of this moment, God. We give thanks for each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I give thanks for all the gifts and the presence of this day, God, that as we open and unfold this day, nothing but goodness shall come our way, Holy Spirit. And I'm just so mighty grateful for all the great things that are about to happen on this day, God. I'm just one grateful somebody, God. As we call forth an anointing on this day, God. You said in your word we could command the day, God.
We command the day as the way we desire, God. And I'm asking you for a special blessing over our children today, God. I'm asking you to take your hands and put your hands in anointing and touch our children, God. I'm asking you to touch the children today in ways that they've never been touched, God. I'm asking you to take out their mouth to taste of things that no longer is serving a higher purpose in their life, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to taste out their mouth and re-emerge the idea of who they are, mighty in the land, and that they will grow and be mightier in the land. God, I'm asking you to anoint their thoughts right now, God. Oh, as you direct them and guide them and remind them that they came to the planet as a gift, God, and that they are our greatest miracle too, God, your greatest miracle, and as a parent, our greatest miracle. God, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for the children that you have placed in our care. Oh, Holy Spirit, I thank you for children that are out here, God, and not understanding and not having the support they need, God. But we ask you to allow us to come together in the community and know exactly what to do whenever they're in our presence, God. The right words, the right things to say, do, and be, God. I'm just asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and bring a special blessing in our communities to heal the land, God. I'm asking for you to touch the soil in the land, God. I'm asking for the atmosphere to be changed in the land, God. I'm asking for economic atmospheres to be changed, social climates to be changed, God, that our children can walk the streets and not concern themselves with anything other than nothing but good shall come their way, God. I'm asking you to strategically place your heavenly angels on earth in the corners of the streets so that they can be protected by our angels, God. I'm asking you to come and bring a healing on the land like no other, God. And I know it can be done. You said in your word all I had to do is ask, God. You said I have not because I ask not, God. But you even said in your word, even before I ask, you will answer my prayers, God. So I'm asking you right now on behalf of all of us, God, to bring the healing upon the land, God. Rain down your healing in the soil, God. Rain down your healing in the atmosphere, God. Rain down your healing in the clouds and the sun that it may nourish the earth in a way that only you can do it, God. And so I'm absolutely grateful knowing that it is done, knowing that every word I speak shall not return to me void, God. And so in this prayer, I offer this up to you knowing that it is done in the victory of love. I say amen, God. And so it is. Good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning to the sun, the moon, the stars. Good morning to all the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the land, the soil. Good morning to all the energy in the universe, the earth, the wind, the fire, the water, the ethers. And good morning to our angelic family, our most beneficent angelic family, our angels this morning. We invite them to this call. Good morning, angels. Good morning to our archangels this morning as we invite and invoke the archangels, the ascended masters. Good morning to our ascended masters and our master guides and our spirit guides and all the unseen committee. You know, God was good. God said, let me send you all to the earth in a physical manifestation of me, and then I'm going to send you all this wonderful, unseen, energetic expressions to help guide and lead you. So we want to invite them into this call, thanking them for being there in our life, whispering in our ears directions and love for us. Thank you to all the angels, archangels, ascended masters, spirit guides, and master guides. And I just often love to just stop and pay homage to our ancestors. You see, I thank God for the opportunity to say, thank you, Mom, for being the vehicle that sent me to the planet. Miss Anastasia McAdoo, Miss Mama Colette Grant, who midwifed this call, the mother of this call. And so as we pay homage to our ancestors, to all of those who walked the planet before us, our known and unknown ancestors, we just invite and invoke the presence of our ancestors as we pay homage and send love, yes, love, into our ancestors. Because we are the dream of the ancestors today, family. And so as we open our arms and invite the presence of those who walked this planet, those who sacrificed their lives, those known and unknown ancestors, we say welcome to the love journey this morning. And as we send love into the descendants, the prayers that we pray today, the work that we do today, the game of those who will come behind us. So we offer love into the descendants. And to those who will come behind us, we say, love you, love you, love you. And I say to you, as I honor the presence of God, the light and the love in you this morning, good morning. Good morning, kings and queens. Love, love to the gods and goddesses. And I'd like to say peace, peace to my millionaires and my billionaires. Yes, yes. Good morning, Love Journey family. You tuned in to the Love Journey. I am Janine Ann Ingram, and I'm always super excited to be here, to share this space and love, family, and I often just stop to say thank you for showing up this morning. Thank you for saying yes to the gift that you are to the planet. Thank you for saying yes to the purpose that is downloaded into your heart. And I so know sometimes that when God's downloaded that gift, it can be a little scary. Because our deepest fear is not that we're inadequate. A lot of times our deepest fear is that we're powerful beyond measure. It's not our darkness. It's our light that most frightens us. Why? Because who are you to be brilliant, talented, amazing, gorgeous? Who are you to be millionaires and billionaires and business owners? But who are you not? And as I remind you today, your playing small does not serve the world. Your playing small does not serve the world. Family, we're going to get started by reading the science of the mind. And then we're going to get through our lesson with Moses this morning. But I'm going to start it off with Joshua Rogers. Rain on us this morning. Come on, family. Let's rain on us. This is the Love Journey with Joshua Rogers.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle. Purify our hearts.
Come on, God, do you?
We need you to surround us in this place. Bring life within us, send a refreshing, Lord, saturate our hearts, send rain, oh, breathe, oh, shower down, anybody needing a shower.
Tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram, and we're about to read from The Science of the Mind. That was Joshua Rogers, and Rain on Us. All right, family, here's a quote. Sarah Teasdale said,
Stephen's kiss was lost in jest. Robin's lost in play, but the kiss in Colin's eyes haunted me night and day. In a book called This Thing Called You, on page 37, Ernest Holmes says, seek to make your work a prayer. Your believing an act. Your living an art. It is then that you shall kiss the lips of your desires. Wow, okay. That's an interesting one. We're reading from The Science of the Mind. It says, do you remember your first crush? Oh, if yours was anything like mine, there was nothing else in the world but that one special, intoxicating person. You see, I tried to walk like him, talk like him, like the same things he did. It was my adolescent reason that to emulate him was the way into his heart. Imitation may or may not be the highest form of flattery, but it's definitely not the best way to live. You see, in trying to be someone else, we completely and totally lose our own personality. And by doing so, we rob the planet of that unique individual that we are. You see, only we can express life the way we do. And why would we deny that to people around us? Why would we deny people the opportunity to see the greatest gift God sent to the planet as us, only us, that only we can do what we've been called to do? See, I never got to kiss my first crush. Looking back, I'm sure it would have been awkward at best since the feelings were not reciprocal. Plus, I'm not quite sure his girlfriend would have made a fuss about it. Later in life, I would have the joy of reciprocated love, but only by looking for it among those capable of loving me for who I am. So how do we draw our companions to us? Whether we're looking for playmates in our life or long-term relationships, the approach is still the same. We must be authentically ourselves. And we must allow others to be who they are as well. Are you being yourself throughout the day? Try it. If you're not already doing it, the people who don't accept us for being ourselves will scurry away. But the ones who love us for being us will flock to us as we will to them. That's interesting. The affirmation for today is, I love being unique. I attract friends who enjoy who I am. I am surrounded by loving, supportive people. I'm going to say that again, family. I love being unique. I love being unique. I attract friends who enjoy who I am. And I am surrounded by loving, supportive people. That was the reading of The Science of the Mind, family. Ernest Holmes. And that was called Belief. All right, family, well, we're going to get started. We're going to finish up with our Moses story. Yes, we were talking about Moses yesterday, and we were talking about Moses from the perspective of being moved into a new realm. You know, we have to realize that sometimes our separation is preparation for the destination of our elevation, and sometimes that's not easy, family. You see, when we're being called to a new place, old things can't be moved into that new space. You can't do it quite like you used to do it because you're being called into a new. And we talked about a lot of that yesterday. We talked about belief, the power, and belief. A lot of people may be experiencing some kind of wilderness experience. And what happens when we're in that wilderness experience is we're being called. We're being called to a new space. You see, what Moses tried to show the Hebrews was that they were no longer slaves. You see, the Hebrews had to get rid of the mindset that they were slaves. They considered them slaves in Egypt, and Moses pointed out that they need not remain slaves to the Egyptians. As children of God, they were heirs to all good. Jehovah assured them that their own promised land flowing with milk and honey. That was the promise, but they had to rise out of the limitations of their thinking imposed by the Egyptians. They had to make an effort to remove that unbelief that they can live in a land of milk and honey. See, it's time for us to even awaken to the great
truth that we're not servants to life's difficulties. No, we are heirs to the unlimited good of the universe. You see, this lavish good only awaits our recognition and acceptance of it when we understand who's and what we are. JC said it best, no one believes in me until I believed in myself. His uncle told him he would never be better than LL Cool J. And he told his uncle, watch, watch my dust. You see, you have to believe in yourself. It's time for us to get out of the bondage of that unbelief. You see, at the time Moses appeared on the scene, the Hebrews were in great trouble. They did not know how to get out of bondage. Moses symbolizes the law of mind action. He shows us how to use our mind powers constructively so that we are free from the experiences and the limitations of the thoughts that we keep in our mind. How many of us keep a conversation in our mind that is always telling us we're not good enough? We're not this enough. Let me tell you, the day you were born, you were already good enough. You are already pretty enough. You are already, because let me tell you, there's no monopoly on beauty. Beauty comes in all shapes and sizes, colors. There's no such thing as only one form of beauty. The only brand of beauty is your brand of beauty. That's it. And remember, God don't make no junk. And let me tell you, when I'm going to tell you secrets, ladies, especially for this is for my ladies who are looking for a divine mate. I trust and believe it's all about your energy. It's all about the energy. It's not about the color. It's not about the size. It's not about the shape. It's about your energy. Energy, ladies. So the first way for the people to get out of bondage is for life difficulties. And even though Moses was a giant in the use of mind power, Moses even had to persist in claiming his freedom from Pharaoh. You see, Pharaoh symbolizes any problem from which you want freedom from. You see, Moses appeared before Pharaoh again and again, saying, let my people go. But Moses wasn't able in the beginning, when God first called Moses, Moses wasn't able to part the Red Sea. It took going before the Pharaoh over and over again. You see, because the first time when Moses was being called, see, sometimes when we're being called to a new thing, it gets a little scary. You see, when we're being called to that new thing, we're being fighting. So when Moses was being called, Moses, God called Moses' name, Moses. And Moses could not believe that God is asking me to go before the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. I can't even speak. I stutter, God. You want me? No, that's Aaron's God. Moses, that's absolutely not Aaron's job. That's short. You know, sometimes the biggest lesson is the thing we have to learn is the thing that we come to the planet to teach. That was a big lesson for me. I had to learn what I had to teach. Moses was like, no, God, mm-mm. And, you know, of course he tried to negotiate. How many of us ever tried to negotiate our purpose out of God? No, God, I know you ain't called me for that. Like me, guys, I know you ain't called me to stand before people and talk. Can I just do my little real estate business, stay on the side, do my yoga, meditate, and just develop my own consciousness? And God said, no, mm-mm. But I'm saying that to say to you today, family, it's time for your calling. You're being called out. It's time for you to stand before the Pharaoh. It's time, family. You are being separated because this is the preparation. Your separation is your preparation for your destination of elevation. It's time. We're being called to an elevated space. And that old stuff that we used to do, we can't bring into this new space. You see, even though Moses had been taught by the Egyptian culture a lot of mind power, Moses had to put that into action and then learn some new stuff and learn things from the spirit being downloaded into him how to go before the Pharaoh. And so each time he went, his confidence got built up. Because the first time he went in there before the Pharaoh, scared as all get up, not knowing if he was going to be able to speak anything. He was even shocked when his staff got thrown on the floor, when he threw his staff, that this staff ate all the snakes up. That was like, oh, yeah, okay, hey, God, all right. And Pharaoh said, fool, your God ain't bigger than my God. And sent Moses walking out of there, but Moses walked out of there with a little bit of confidence, ready to come back again and again and again and again. What am I saying? Every time we step in our courage to do what we've been called to do, every time we step in the courage to live our dreams, every time we step in the shoes of courage to walk in our dreams, guess what happens? A little bit of fear be released. Okay, I could do it. All right, I actually did it. They actually like me. They actually like what I said. Okay, let me do it again. Let me get back up and you do it again. Until one day you recognize, I've been called for greatness. To recognize you get to see your own greatness. And that's what this call is really about today, recognizing your own greatness. Let me tell you, family, I walked in a journey of unbelief for a long time. Until one day I prayed and said, God, let me see myself the way you see me. And it's getting better and better every day because I get to see my own greatness. That's really... Oh, it really wows you when you get to see your own greatness, not from an arrogant space, not from a place that you're better than anybody else, just from a place of knowing that when you're walking in your own gifts, in your own calling, that's your sweet spot. That's the spot. You remember that song by Jay-Z and Kanye West? You are now watching the throne. Don't let me get in my zone. When you're in your zone, there's something that happens that God is like. There's something that happens that only you can do, like nobody else can do it. I'm telling you, when you get in your sweet spot, it is the most exhilarating thing. But let me tell you, it only comes in its greatest form when you recognize that you are God's greatest gift and that you are the walking embodiment of the God-Goddess consciousness in the land. Really. And then you get to recognize other goddesses. Oh, look at that goddess. Look at God over there. Oh, you get to see God and Goddess in everything you do because guess what? You recognize the oneness. I couldn't do anything to hurt you because I'm hurting myself when I hurt you. When we begin to know who's and what we are, there's a certain kind of knowing in how we walk. There's a certain kind of knowing in how we navigate life. There's a certain kind of owning when you walk. Let me tell you something that I learned so powerfully in the spirit. We don't have to protect ourselves. You know, people are so afraid and always protecting themselves, but love needs no protection. See, when you're operating in a true understanding of the vibratory energy of love, love needs no protection. You need no barriers because anything other than love cannot even walk up on love. Come on, y'all. Let me tell you, when you operating in a true consciousness of love, nothing but love can walk in your space. You have to move out that way because love is here, baby. It is so powerful. I remember my grandmother used to tell us that when we was young. I didn't really get it, though. She always told us there's not an ill love can't heal. There's not a prescription love can't fill. And for every question, love is the answer. Love is the most powerful vibratory energy on the space, on the planet, in the universe. But we don't understand it because we condition to see love is weak. Love is that attachment, and love is what you feel in your heart. But, baby, I'll come to tell you that's not. Love is not attachment. Love is not controlling. Love is so powerful in itself that it raises everything that's around it. Anything that comes in its space has to be raised or it has to be removed from its space because love is that powerful. And that's what happens. You see, interviewing Prince made me think about one thing. I asked Prince at the end of the radio show, what is it that you want to leave our listening audience? And it blew my mind when he said that one must learn to master love and discover oneself. And when one discovers love and master oneself, one discovers God. And I got it. I know it went over a lot of people's head because people don't really get it. Our only job on the planet, we don't come to heal people. We don't come to do all this other stuff that we've been taught that we came to do. Our only job is to heal ourselves on the planet. That's our only job. Our only job is to do what we need to do to return to the energetic expression of love. And just by us doing what we do, it liberates others. It assists others. You know, when we talk about when Jesus was in the park and he was walking with the 12 disciples, you know, and I always imagine Jesus being this tall, dark, handsome, and the 12 disciples, all beautiful black men walking in the park. Can you imagine? These 13 beautiful specimens of men walking down. And the lady decided that she needed to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. We talk about when she touched Jesus, when she crawled through the, when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And one of the disciples looked back and said, "Really, Jesus, you want to ask that question? Really? You really want to know who touched you?" And Jesus said, "I felt virtue left my body." Really, that story is about consciousness meeting consciousness. You see, when you get in the presence of the consciousness of the higher frequency, you only can raise. And see, what we don't understand is that it was about her being able to meet the consciousness of Jesus. And in the consciousness of that meeting, she was made whole. That's what happened. Have you ever been in the presence of anybody, and every time you're in their presence, when you come away, you just feel exhilarated, you feel excited, you feel, because that's how powerful consciousness is, energy is. That's how powerful it is. And if you ever been in somebody's presence that every time you get in there, you feel away, you get a headache, you're tired, you don't understand why you keep answering the phone or being in their presence, that's because that's the power of energy. The energy can raise, can heal, or energy can take you to another direction. So we need to be conscious of the energy we send out and the consciousness that come together in our mind when we're in the space of other people. Each day I ask God to raise my energetic expression that my presence will be a blessing, God. Let me walk through the planet that even my energy, that everything that walks through my cells will be transforming energy, that anybody who is in my presence will be transformed, elevated into the expression of who you are in this right now moment, God. Let my presence be a blessing. I don't want people to feel like when I'm with you, they ain't, oh, my God, no. But my girlfriend used to say, "You're too sunny for me," when we was growing up. But anyway, that's another story. But I'm saying that's how powerful Jesus' presence was. His consciousness was so powerful that when you were in the presence of Jesus, your consciousness raised. But it only can raise when you're ready, because remember, he said it is your faith. It is your energy. It is your stuff that makes you heal. Jesus never said, "I healed you." "Oh, thank you. I healed you today." No, Jesus said, "It is your faith that made you whole. It is your energy that makes you whole. It is your healing." So I want, especially a lot of us who are healers on our planet right now in this call, we always give, and we empty ourselves up, and we don't realize that our job is to heal ourselves. The work is on ourselves. And as we move and navigate through the life, and as we move through this planet, our presence can shift the atmosphere. You can walk in a place and the climate change just because of your presence. You can get on a call and people can be in a direction, and you just very in, calling in, can shift the atmosphere of what's going on just by your presence. Today you've been called to a new. Moses was being called to a new level. You're being called to a new level. And it's time for us to operate in that new level. Because when Jehovah told Moses he was to go to Pharaoh and demand freedom from the Hebrews, Moses objected because he was not a good speaker. And Jehovah sent Moses' brother Aaron along to help him. See, God always sends us what we need when we need it. We can say, "God, I need some help," just like Moses. Moses said, "I need some help, God, because I don't think I'm going to be able to do this alone. I need a team." And he sent Aaron and her. See, it took great strength for Moses to appear repeatedly before Pharaoh and asked for freedom, especially when his requests were not being granted. By having to appear before Pharaoh a number of times and speak words of freedom, Moses gained an inner strength which he needed later, not only to get the Hebrews out of bondage, but to keep them out. See, when we overcome a problem and then we do not succeed, we have not failed. You are merely gaining, what are we gaining? An inner strength through our repeated efforts, which you will need to make your demonstrations and to keep it like Moses. If at first we don't succeed, what we have to do, we got to keep going before that Pharaoh, knowing who sent us. Who sent us? The I am, that I am presence, have sent you. So when anything comes up against you or around you or causes any difficulty, oh, no, you don't know who sent me. The I am, that I am presence, have sent me. If it's money, speak to your money. Oh, no, money, you have the power to command the money to come. Oh, no, no, ain't no such thing as lack here. Why? Because the I am that the I am have sent me. And God don't give a vision without provision. Speak to the situation. Oh, no, I would not allow you in my space like this, because why? The I am has sent me for such a time as this. Oftentimes, when we struggle, you feel you cannot go, that your good begins to appear. You know, sometimes when we get to that last where we can't take it, oh, my God, I've been in that place. God, how long? How long, God? God, do you hear me? But it's through persistent claiming our freedom, even in the face of apparent failure. You go through defeated, undefeated. Persistence is the first requirement for us to get to the things that we really want to get to. We heard the story that Will Smith told about what's on the other side of terror, what's on the other side of defeat. It's freedom. And by the persistence of Moses going back and forth with the Pharaoh, and each time he came back stronger and stronger and stronger, we know that when we're in our wilderness experience, when we have to go before the Pharaoh, meaning the Pharaoh symbolized the difficulties of life, that's just there to build the inner strength for something that God has created us for. Because I want to tell you right now, life is not happening against you. It's happening for you. Because Albert Einstein reminds us what? That the universe is friendly to our desire. Yes. You see, the Hebrews had gone to Egypt to live in order, to escape a famine during the era when that famous king, Joseph, was prime minister. You see, the Egyptians did not object to having the Hebrews there as long as Joseph lived. He had been their savior from starvation. But after the death, the Egyptians resented the Hebrews, and they felt the Hebrews were mercenary and were taking food right out of their mouth. There were even race riots in Egypt in 1300 B.C., but in order to placate the Egyptians, the Hebrews became common laborers. They were allowed to receive 3 meals a day, to live in the slum areas as long as they worked as slave labor. And Pharaoh ordered all male Hebrew children killed, hoping their population would die out. Moses then appeared on the scene to free them of all this misery. But they were not willing to be free. They were even not willing to leave the scene of the misery. Why? Why do you think that we'd rather stay in misery than try something that's unknown? It's not so different than us now. Well, I'd rather stay in this half-broken marriage, or I hate going to this job, but I'm going to keep going to it. Why do we choose to live in bondage, in a marriage we're not happy with, in a job we can't stand, doing stuff we don't like? And we chose it, just like the Hebrews. They weren't willing to be free, and they didn't want to leave the scene of misery. They said, misery, often we've been like the Hebrews who did not appreciate Moses when Moses tried to rescue. We do not always recognize or welcome the guidance that comes to us, which is trying to free us from bondage. When we have gotten the good out of an old situation, it becomes bondage to you. It's no longer satisfying to you. You may complain about it, yet you usually are not willing to make the effort to gain freedom from the bondage. I ask myself, why? Why do people stay in marriages they don't like? Why do we go to jobs we don't like? That don't mean you get up and quit, but you make a plan to get out. You see, there were 10 plagues connected with Moses' pleas for freedom for his people. And these plagues seemed cruel, but they actually were blessings in disguise. You see, they would not have been necessary had the Hebrews been willing to leave Egypt on their own. But they were not. They reasoned that it was safer to endure slavery in Egypt than to face the unknown on their own. It took those harassing plagues to force the Hebrews to let go and get out of an old situation that they had outgrown. To get out at any cost, they had bound themselves to something that had run its course in their growth, something from which they needed freedom. How many of us have stayed in something too long, family, too long, knowing that it was time for us to go, but afraid to leave because it's better to stay in an unhappy marriage or an unhappy job or unhappy situation than to go to something unknown? You're being called to an elevated space today, pal. Your name, you are being called. You are being called to stand in your own greatness. I'm going to tell you the secret sauce is this. God created you uniquely with secret sauce that only you can do it. You see that secret recipe that's in you, that secret recipe and that secret sauce, that's yours and yours only. Only you can do it the way you can do it. Only you can bring that seasoning to the space in the way that you can do it. That's your secret special sauce. Nobody else can do it. Now, even though we, some of us may have similar gifts and talents, but I only can do it the way I can do it. You can only do it the way you can do it. And guess what? If we stay in the lane of our own special sauce, nothing but good going to come our way, because guess what? It was meant for us. We were ordained or anointed and appointed for that. And I don't care how many degrees you do or don't have, it don't matter. When you are ordained, appointed, and anointed for it, guess what? Nothing can be the calling of an anointing. Woo, that's tweetable, y'all. Nothing can beat the calling of an anointing. You've been anointed for what you've been called to do. But we'd rather stay in an unhappy situation than to go through the wilderness of finding out how to step in our own greatness, because it's going to be some wilderness now. Trust and believe that if you haven't been operating in that space from the beginning, because you got to remove all that those conditioned veils that's been placed upon us from our all the way up. Now, I'm sure people didn't mean to do it. They just did what they thought. If they was our parents, schools, the conditioning of our churches, all of that. Now you got to get all that stuff out to step into what your soul is longing for. Usually when we are unhappy or good situations, it's because our soul is longing to express itself. And the soul is what makes us unique. See, there's a difference between the soul and the spirit. See, the soul is the unique expression that you came and that only you came, that has all the secret sauce of you in it. The spirit is what makes us one. The soul is what makes us unique, the soul of you. And it has placed inside of that soul is your goals. So this year in the Sunrise Service, we will be exploring the souls of the goals, the goals of our soul. What did you, specifically you, as you, as the goddess God that you came to the planet, what is the soul longing for? The soul is longing to express the divine through you. What is it that the divine wants to share that only the divine wants to share through you? And when you want freedom from that bondage, you must first be willing to let that bondage go. As long as you're willing to continue to live with that limitation, you will have to simply do it because you have not released it. But when an experience has run its course in your life and you still continue to bow down to it, that limitation, it hardens the heart towards you. And things get worse in order to force you to let go. Things may get all stirred up when you begin to speak words of freedom, but your plagues are an indication that freedom is on its way. So instead of being frightened by each period of chemicalization, this is the time to rejoice in knowing and declaring that you give thanks because freedom is here right now. Let go again and again if necessary. It was up until the ninth plague that Pharaoh tried to compromise with Moses. And up until the ninth plague, Pharaoh tried to compromise with Moses. He said he would allow the children of Israel to go out into the wilderness and sacrifice to their God, but they must first return to Egypt. Moses refused refuse to compromise through nine plagues. He said, no. The number nine symbolizes the finishing of an old cycle and the beginning of a new one. So when you speak words of freedom to a problem, you will be tested. Always, there may be possibilities of compromise, but if you accept that compromise, you will remain in bondage. Like Moses, you got to say no. Sometimes you got to say no many times. And when you refuse to settle for a compromise, then your complete freedom comes. With the 10th and last plague, Pharaoh not only released the Hebrews, he wanted them to leave. And the 10th plague was his own, where his own child died. At this point, the Hebrews could not have stopped their freedom. They could not have stayed in Egypt even if they wanted to, because they were literally pushed out of bondage by the very force that had previously bound them. The thing from which they wanted freedom suddenly wanted freedom from them. Even though the Hebrews were suddenly under great pressure to leave Egypt, they did not do so until they first did something very significant. They observed Passover, which was an ancient festival associated with what? Giving thanks. Giving observation and the recognition of God's help to bless them. It was a celebration of answered prayer for having passed over so much, and with thanksgiving that their prayers were released from bondage and had been answered. Now, they hadn't gone to freedom yet, but what this is a very important part I want you to think about. How many of us would be willing to say, thank you, God, for my new love mate, even though he ain't showed up? How many of us are willing to say, thank you, God, for money, substance, even when we can't see it in our bank account and don't know where it's going to come from? How many of us are still willing to say, thank you, God, even though the pain is there, even though the suffering or whatever process you're going through? Can you say, thank you, God, even in your health challenge? Can you say, thank you, God, even when you don't see it and don't know how, and when you're down to nothing and know that God is up to something? Can you still say, thank you, God? This is the part that I want us to really think about, because this is the part where we really got to think. When we're in a situation, most of us complain. Girl, I'm so broke, I can't pay attention. Girl, what about these gas prices? All this stuff, all that kind of conversation. It's not a God-goddess conversation when you know you're a God. See, the most wonderful thing about understanding who you are, you know you're an alchemist. You know you can turn the water into wine, meaning you can bring the invisible into the visible. That's what happens when you understand who and what you are. You can speak a thing and it'll call for somebody to call you and say, you know, I was thinking about you. Spirit said for me to write you a $3,000 check. Come by and get it. That's what happens when you know you're a god or a goddess. You see, when you understand your alchemy energy, you know that no matter what the seemingly appearances are, you are a metaphysician, that you can call forth a thing and it shall be so. Somebody ought to say amen this morning. And you give thanks knowing that it is already done as soon as you speak it. And even before they left to move into the land of milk and honey, they gave what they did. They stopped and they gave a festival of thanksgiving, offering and sacrifice. And with thanksgiving, their prayers for release from bondage had been answered, and that freedom was on the way. They quietly feasted. They offered gifts of the finest cattle and sacrifice and thank offerings and appreciation of answered prayer. Even though they needed to leave quickly, they did so until they had put God first, asking God for divine guidance, asking for the presence of the eternal love to guide them and lead them throughout the presence of this movement that they was about to do. See, like throughout history, when the Hebrews remembered to do this, all their needs were always met. When we stop and give thanks, you see, we talked about this yesterday. There's power in the praise family, but there's even more power in the praise when there's belief. There's power in the praise. There's power in the thanksgiving. We got to use our spiritual powers. You know, Reverend Ike always says this. If you listen to Reverend Ike, he said, I can't lose with the stuff I use. Why? Because I use my spiritual tools. Every situation that ever arose in Reverend Ike's life, he used the spiritual tool. We got to learn what spiritual tool we need to have and what tools need to be used on a particular situation. We got to get so attuned to our spiritual tools that when something come up, oh, I know what's up here. Let me go to my arsenal. I know how to use my spiritual tools on this situation. what needs to happen here? Is this something that needs to be forgiven? Is this something that just needs to be praised on through? Is this something that needs to be fasted on through? We got to learn how to use our spiritual tools. We don't have to come up against anything on a physical level. We can use the spiritual energy. We can use our angelic energy, but we have to learn how to use it. We've been called to a spiritual game, not a physical game. So many people want to get out here and do it physically. It's not our job. Our job is to get in tune and ask Spirit to give us the tool that we must use in order to express in this particular situation so that the divine can be expressed in this situation with ease, elegance, and grace. Let me tell you, pain will push you around until the vision pulls you. What does that mean? That means pain will kick your butt. I wanted to curse. It will kick your butt until you decide, I don't have to learn through pain. I no longer have need struggle and strife and lack in order to teach me what I need to learn. I can get called from the vision and operate in a vision. And remember, God doesn't give a vision without the provision. What is the provision? Everything you need to bring the vision forth. But so many times we operate from the place of lack and limitation because we've been conditioned in lack. We've been conditioned in limitation. We've been conditioned to believe in those things because we see it more readily. That's why you have to put your metaphysician eyes on and see beyond the physical until you have created the consciousness that lives in them more than enough all the time. So today's lesson is about what? Seeing beyond the physical. Seeing your own greatness, operating with your spiritual tools, and remembering that freedom comes if we just keep moving forward, persistent. And remember, when freedom comes, it will come so quickly like it is breathtaking. It can be breathtaking, accepted on its own term quickly and non-resistantly, whether it comes in the way you had in mind or not. But you are past the point of no return, family. Remember, you are God. You are Goddess. And it's all about us doing what? Keeping tabs on this mind chatter. Why is this mind conversation telling us you're not good enough when you are already more than good enough? How come this mind chatter is telling you you got to do something different to get something in order? That's not true. You already who you are, and you don't need to do anything different to get a love mate. You don't need anything different to do anything to get anything because you are already what you need to be. That don't mean you can't work on yourself. That don't mean you can't exercise and do all the things you want to do, but I'm saying that you don't have to do anything to attract the love mate. You are already the perfect size, the perfect look, the perfect everything. You're already perfect just the way you are. You don't have to do anything other than to do the work on your consciousness to attract the money. Whatever money that you need or desire to navigate life with. You don't have to be better. You don't have to be gooder. You don't have to do anything other than understand that just because you are. But you got to know that you deserve it. You got to know that you deserve it. You got to understand that you deserve all of the good things in life. But nobody is going to own your greatness until you own it. Nobody's going to see the greatness in you the way you want us to until you see it. So it's up for us to operate in this knowing. We got to do our mirror work, family. We got to start asking God to show us our own greatness. We got to start blessing the eyes and asking the eyes to remove any veil that keep reminding us anything other than the truth. How many times you look in the mirror and say things that are critical to yourself? How many times you walk past that mirror and say critical things to yourself? Remember, the story we tell to ourselves is the story we live. When you say, I'm not good enough, yep, the universe conspires to show you just like you're not good enough. When you say, I'm too this, guess what? This universe comes and conspires you and say, you're absolutely right. Today, as we reframe our money story, as we reframe the stories that we tell ourselves, we got to monitor that conversation that's going on in our mind. We can't keep telling ourselves we're not good enough. We can't keep telling ourselves we're too fat, too this, too that, too light, too dark, too skinny, too short, too dark, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff is platinum songs that we can no longer sing. Family, learn how to pray the prayer over yourself, to ask yourself to see your own greatness. It's time to look in the mirror and see your own greatness. That can, I know it can be scary. It's a scary thing. Einstein, when Einstein begged God, let me see your face, God. I just want to seek the face of God. I just want to see your face, God. And God said, all right, cool, Einstein. I'm going to give you what you want. And God opened up the universe and let Einstein look in. And Einstein looked and was scared out of his mind because he saw himself. He saw himself. What does that mean? That means when God says seek God's face, that means seek the face of yourself. That means look and master oneself. And then, and only then will the land be healed. When we turn from the wickedness, what does that mean? When we turn from the wickedness of believing that anything outside ourselves is bigger than who we are inside of ourselves, that's wicked. When we believe in a truth that's not true of who we are, that's wicked. So when we can seek the face of God, turn from our wicked ways, turn from the thoughts of not being good enough, turn away from the thoughts that I'm not pretty this and I'm not that and I'm not this or whatever that is, that's all wicked thoughts. When we can seek the consciousness of God in the level of God consciousness, then and only then will the land be healed. Can you imagine a land of people who can seek themselves as God? How you would treat somebody when you really understood you was a God and that they were God and that we're all goddesses and goddesses? Can you imagine the consciousness of how the land would be toiled and how we would treat each other and how we would treat our land and how we would treat our properties and how we would appreciate the trees and the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the animal life? When we understood the dominion that we were given. But that first got to be started with you. You got to be the peace. You got to be the walking embodiment of peace and love. And you got to be the walking embodiment of what it means to be a God on the planet. What it means to be a goddess on the planet. We talk that talk. Oh, yeah, good morning, goddess. Hey, God. Yeah, I am God. But did we really believe it? I know when I first started really embodying that energy, I didn't. I said, ooh, what does that mean? And then one day I really just said to myself, what does it mean to be a God on the planet? What does it mean to actually be the walking embodiment of a goddess on the planet? What does that look like? What does it mean when Christ Jesus said that you can do all the things that I've done, and even greater, what does that mean? How can I get to the level of being the alchemist that Jesus was on the planet? Just turning water into wine. I don't even have to do it better than him or greater. I just want to do it the way he did. How can I turn water into wine? How can I absolutely take two fish and five loaves of bread and multiply the mass for the masses? I just want to be able to get to that level. And I start asking, well, what does that, how do you do that, God? But see, when you want to operate as a true God, and guys, you got to pray differently. You got to walk differently. You got to own it differently. And maybe we'll talk about that on another conversation because we 7:14. I'm going to end it right here. But I just want to recap. Today's message is about what? Seeing our own greatness. Being able to look in the mirror and see what our greatness. Operating in our own truth. Owning the gift that we are to the planet, owning that you are a gift to the planet, no longer allowing and accepting these thoughts of inferiority. When they come up, what you got to do? Oh, you better get up out of here. You wrong for that thought. When those thoughts try to come in my mind, I say, uh-oh, baby, you in the wrong house. I don't got time to think about that. And I actually monitor. If I'm thinking about somebody else or thinking about, I stop my thoughts and say, you know what, Janine, you don't got time to be in somebody else's thoughts or business. You don't have time to have that thought. Because if I'm moving into my God, God is energy, and God-like consciousness, I don't have time to have anything other than a godlike consciousness. You know, the secret to Albert Einstein was his prayer and his affirmation was, I only want to think the thoughts of God. That was his prayer and thoughts. That was his affirmation every day. Can you imagine why we think of him as a genius? He had God thoughts because that was his affirmation. It became so embodied into who he was that his thoughts became the thoughts of God, that everything that he brought into the planet in terms of law of relativity and gravity and all the things that he, you know, harnessed was all because of his idea that I only want to think the thoughts of God. What could you do if you only thought the thoughts of God? If every minute, every second of the day, you were in a godlike consciousness thought, what genius idea would you bring to the planet? What legacy would you leave that even when your physical presence is gone, they'd still be calling your name? Okay, I'm about to go on another subject. I'm like getting the sanctified church now. I'm about to let y'all go now and talk 2 more hours, right? But that's my message for today. Any questions, comments, or concerns, you can star 6 if you're on teleconference. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, you can press the number 1 and say, hey, good morning, or make a comment. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Absolutely fantastic. How are you?
I am fantastic, fabulous, and something else. Anyway.
Okay.
I think this is so fantastic. You can't operate in greatness and fear at the same time. The mind can only do one thing at the same time. People think they can strategize while being in fear. You can't do it. And I think this talk is so fantastic because Thursday's program on King's Philosophy, His Love, is where does fear come from? And people, and it's amazing, you talked about this yesterday, but I'm going into a deeper space, a deeper element of spirituality where people have no idea what that darkness is all about. Fear is darkness when it starts to control you. And so I'm loving what you're bringing to us. I am loving what you're bringing to us because it's the God energy that is actually putting the changing the atmosphere around each and every one of us in the love journey so that we can be a greater force on this planet. And Janine, I thank you for accepting that call and moving forward as you are. Oh, you're making me feel so good.
Thank you,
Janine,
from Baltimore.
Oh, and let me share the phone number. The phone number for the Blog Talk Radio program at 7 o'clock on Thursday is 626-929-0630, 626-929-0630, and I'm going to do my best to post it tonight.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any more questions, comments, concerns? Let me look on Blog Talk.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
Good
How
morning.
Are you?
I'm okay. I really enjoyed the call. I picked up some great information. I didn't know all this information about Albert Einstein. And I'm so surprised. This call went so quickly. Like, I don't even feel like I've been on here since 6 in the morning. So I'm definitely glad I was able to be a part this morning. I look forward to the coming morning.
All right, what's your name, man? Where are you from? Share with the call.
Trudy. Sorry, I thought you heard me. This is Trudy from Burnham, Illinois.
Good morning, Trudy from Burnham. Let me tell you, I love your Facebook post. You are so hilarious. I was just thinking that this morning when you pushed in this morning on the call, I was like, wow, she is so funny. Girl, I don't know if you know your calling, but you probably should be a comedian.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's actually just how I feel, and I think that's what makes it so funny, because I'm speaking my truth, you know. So, but yeah, this is definitely a blessing. I got my prayer in. I got the word. You get your mind right. So, I like it. I guess at first I thought initially it was just an hour of prayer, and that was kind of daunting for me. But I'm glad I actually got on the call to experience it, and like I said, I enjoyed it. So I look forward to starting my mornings off with this call.
Oh, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm glad you took a chance and called in. I think it's scary when people call it a prayer call. People are like, oh, prayer call? Okay.
It is. Uh-huh. So, all right. Well, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and put you back on mute.
Okay. Have a great day. Thank you for calling in, Trudy. All right. Thank you, Linda, for Minetti, for inviting her to the call. All right, family, looks like we're done. No more questions, comments, or concerns this morning. Okay, I just want to remind you, of course, you heard King talk about Thursday's events, Monday, Evolutionary Woman, and we got another week before we can hear her because she's on sabbatical right now. I also want to remind you, in the Baltimore area coming up in July, don't forget to check out Sisters Gathering to Heal. Yes, 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 with Deborah and Ricks. And I am co-hosting that event in Baltimore with her sisters, Gathering to Heal. And guess what? That's going to be in July. And then right after that, I'm going to be at the lake right here in Chicago with our sunrise service. So we're going to start getting out our information because we want you to invite. This year is going to be about the soul this year. So Sisters Gathering to Heal is I am not my sister keeper, but I am my sister. That's the theme this year surrounding that. We are our sisters. We are. And it's all about women gathering to heal in Druid Park. And I'm sure I've never been to Druid Park in Baltimore, so I'm not sure if it's water or just a park. But so I don't know if we gather around water or if we just gather in the greenery. But I'm sure it's going to be a beautiful, amazing event in Druid Park on July 8th, I think that's the 8th of July, and you do not want to miss this opportunity to come together, wear white, and check it out on Facebook, Sisters Gathering to Heal. Yes, yes, yes. And then guess what? Also, the Sunrise Service. This is our 9th annual Sunrise Service, family. Yay! The soul, the message from the soul. All right, let me see. And in September, we are bringing the Womb Silence. So we're going to be having the Womb Sanctuary September 27th weekend. So I'm going to get you all that information. But let me tell you, ladies, you do not want to miss this powerful, transforming, riveting event that's going to take place right here in Chicago, healing the womb family. You know what happens when we heal the womb family. You know what happens when ladies begin to really do the healing. The womb work is some powerful work, so I don't want you to miss this opportunity to gather together right here in Chicago. Tamar is coming, so if you want to get your womb steamed in a way you've never been steamed before, the Queen of Desire is meeting with the Queen of Steam right here. We touching down together in Chicago September 27th weekend, and guess what? It's going to be a powerhouse weekend. So I'm going to put all that together. So you got July 8th, Sisters Gathering to Heal, right there in Baltimore. We're going to kick it off right there in Baltimore, women coming together to do the healing. And I tell you, that's going to be a powerful event. And then turn around Chicago, 39th Street Beach, Sunrise Service, Message from the Soul. And then right here in Chicago again, in September, we're going to turn around and heal the womb family. We're going to be doing some womb work, and we're going to see if we can kick Queen of Four in with this deal right here. But if we can't, we'll just keep on moving with what we got. We got Tamar coming to steam the womb family. Steam the womb. Oof. I tell you, nothing like healing the wound of our heart, the wound of our mind, and the wound of our wounds. I tell you, something powerful happens when we come together as women and operating in a true feminine energy as the goddesses we came to the planet to do. And when we have male energy to support that healing, that even takes it to another level. So, family, I want you to know, together, in community, we grow. Also, before we go, I just want to send some love to Carla and Laura. Laura's mother made her transition after we got a call at 9 o'clock yesterday. We prayed for the receiving of God's love, as God received the beautiful angel, Laura's mother, yesterday. We just send love and encouragement to the family. Also, we want to send love into Claudette and just support Claudette in this right now moment as our sister, her mother is in the hospital. She fell. She took a fall the night before. She's 80, I think she's 88 or 84, one of the 80-something numbers. But she's still in her right mind, funny and hilarious. Went to the hospital to see her yesterday, beautiful as ever. And I just want you all to keep the Reddick family in your arms of love and send out love and send light. But don't bombard her with too many calls because she's already overwhelmed, Claudette is. So just kind of send her a text. Let her know you love her. Let her know you support her. And she's in good hands with the Love Journey right now, family. All right, family, I just want to remind you that your life is a gift from God. What you do with your life is a gift back to God, family. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And I want to remind you, family, to not just dream, but live your God-sized dreams, family. I want you to live them today. And we're going to play this song called Mirror. And I love this song because you know why? It always reminds me of the true work is with ourselves. And we got to make our mirror our best friend. So right here on the Love Journey, this is Layla Hathaway, Mirror. Don't forget to make the mirror your best friend.
Bitter hearts don't hold a smile. Troubled minds will wear you down. Use your past to get ahead. Hold your tears and think instead. You have to find a way to make it. These clouds are letting up for a while. Sometimes you gotta make the mirror your best friend, and maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. Now you know the remedy. Tell yourself you will achieve. Just go on and brush your shoulders off. This bridge is one that you must cross. You have to find a way to make it. These clouds are letting up for a while. Sometimes you gotta make mirror your best friend, and maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. If you love yourself, don't need nobody else. No one can love you like you. If you look inside, you'll find where your strength resides. No one can love you like you. Sometimes you gotta make the mirror your best friend. Maybe then you'll find some peace within. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself when no one else can. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Like no one else can. Stop hiding yourself. Stop hiding yourself. Love yourself like no one else can.